Today, we are going to continue on our quest to get through the Sermon on the Mount. How about that? Y'all enjoying it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Most of you have been here and you kind of know what we're going through and what we're doing. But for those of you who don't, during Ash Wednesday, or starting on Ash Wednesday, we started a journey going through Jesus' awesome sermon, the best one ever, the Sermon on the Mount. So we could totally understand how we need to behave as disciples. I didn't say what we need to believe. I said how we need to behave. There's quite the difference, isn't there? Yeah. And this church is determined, and I'm happy to represent you and lead you all, because I know you all, individually and as a collective group, we are determined to represent Jesus out in this world, his kingdom, as this scripture says. And so we're calling ourselves and we're striving to be kingdom of heaven people. That's a phrase we've been using since, that was March 5th, I think, or March 5th or 6th. So through this journey, we've uncovered many ways we need to behave. And as we enter into Holy Week, with today being Palm Sunday, I think you kind of caught on to that. I was interested to see how God was going to fit all this together. I honestly thought about, well, let's press pause for a couple weeks during this sermon series. We'll press pause and then we'll pick it up in a couple weeks, you know? But then I read the scripture and God's like, no, it all fits together with Palm Sunday. And I'm like, oh my goodness, of course it does. And then I had an epiphany about next week too already. So like, we're gonna continue on. So these may not be your typical like Palm Sunday and Easter service messages, but they all fit together because it all fits together. It's the same message, just in a different way. So we're celebrating today Jesus' triumphant entry in Jerusalem, and we're also going to talk about some things he taught us to do and how to behave in his Sermon on the Mount. And today's message does tie together with Jesus and his Jerusalem entry, but you're going to have to give me a few moments to get there, okay? I promise I'm going to tie it together. I will. And you're going to be like, oh yeah. Go, Pastor. That was awesome. You can do this. I'll tie it together. All right, so today we're in Matthew 6, 1 through 18. We did Matthew 5. We've got 6 and 7 to go through. And just so you know, I looked, I think maybe the beginning of May we'll be able to wrap this up between me and Pastor Tosh going through these scriptures. So we've got just a few more weeks, but there's some really good stuff in here that we need to continue pressing on to learn. Matthew 6, 1 through 18, Jesus is teaching about a few different things, three things that I'm going to go over today. Giving, prayer, and fasting. Now, I want you to know, giving, praying, and fasting are often known as righteous acts, and that's how Jesus refers to it at the beginning of Scripture in my version of the Bible. Righteous acts are deeds. Things we do that align with divine and moral law and are often seen as evidence of your faith. Righteous acts are deeds that align with divine or moral law and are often seen as evidence of your faith. In my terms, in Pastor Jamie's definition, it would be that giving, prayer, and fasting and other things we do show by our actions, shows to others and demonstrates God in us. Jesus speaks on three specific things: giving, praying, fasting. But his emphasis isn't on doing those things. It's how we do those things and other things that we do as disciples of Jesus and how we behave. So you'll see the emphasis today isn't on what to do, it's how to do it. And then I'll tie that together with what Jesus does today and how he does what he does. All right, so let's get into it, shall we? You guys want to read scripture with me? I mean, that's a good place to start in a sermon-ish, right? Matthew 6, 1 through 18. These are Jesus' words as he's talking to the humongous crowd by now and preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they will have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. And you're probably going to recognize these words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Amen. Verse 1 kind of sums the whole thing up. Verse 1 says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. I could really just say that and be done. We could go home and we could have another, I don't know, half hour back in our day. But I'm not going to do that. You guys don't get off that easy. But that's the gist of what Jesus is talking about here. And then he goes into specific detail about these acts of righteousness and how to do them. As we go through these scriptures, as we read them, and as we break these down, you're going to see that Jesus speaks all three of these teachings in a certain structure or a pattern, if you will. He first speaks how not to do the actions. Then he tells us how to do the actions. And then he gives us a promise at the end. If you see, that's the structure of all three of these. So let's get into them, shall we? Giving. Let's talk about giving. That's the first one Jesus talks about here. When we give, we are to give with our hearts and no other motive than to worship God and to help others sincerely. Jesus says in Scripture not to announce it with trumpets. You all remember, and he could have been talking about a couple things. Do you all remember a few months ago when I talked about the giving boxes in the temple and what the shape of those giving boxes were? What was the shape of the giving boxes? They looked like a trumpet. Thank you. I heard that. The giving boxes in the temple were shaped like a trumpet, and people would put their coins in there, and we talked about how noisy that could be. If you're putting a whole bunch of coins in there, you're like, yep, I'm giving a bunch. Listen to my trumpet. He could have been talking about that. My first instinct, obviously, is thinking about a trumpet and how if you blare a trumpet right here, you're going to get attention, right? If Pastor Tosh were to stand up here suddenly and blow her trumpet, you're all going to look at her, correct? Right. It gets people's attention. So I don't know. I just kind of thought it was interesting, and I wanted to throw that little nugget out about the shape of the giving boxes at the temple being a trumpet. Nonetheless, the message is the same. Jesus said that our giving needs to be opposite of any fanfare or any attention given. Subtly, humbly. He says specifically, verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. This is an exaggerated statement, okay? But Jesus is trying to make a point. If I'm a human body and I have a left hand and a right hand, they pretty much know when they work together. Look, I even did this. They're kind of working together, right? They kind of know what each other is doing. But Jesus is saying our giving needs to be so humble and in secret that they don't even know what's happening. They don't know what's going on. My left hand has no idea what happened over here with my right hand. That's his exaggerated point, but it's about humbleness. It's about discreetfulness. Let your giving be done discreetly, without fanfare and attention. So if we go to the structure that I told you about just a few minutes earlier, Jesus is saying, look, you don't need to give with fanfare or for recognition. You need to give with confidentiality. And then you're going to receive your reward by God the Father in heaven. Don't give this way. Give this way. May your motives and your heart be pure and humble for how you give. Prayer is the next thing he speaks of, isn't it? This is the next righteous act that Jesus says we need to be humble with. Verse 5, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Don't be like those hypocrites. They want to be seen by people. Just like giving, we are to pray also, humbly, confidentially, discreetly, in secret. Jesus says in Scripture, right, to go to your room, close the door, and have an intimate one-on-one conversation with God. Not seeking praise from others. Not doing something to seem holy. Now, he's not saying that we aren't to get together and pray out loud with one another. He's not saying that we don't do the prayer book. And he's not saying that we pray over things. He's not saying that we don't come together on Thursday and pray together, okay, as a community. However, what he is saying, and what the point that he's making, is that our hearts have to be right and have to be humble. That we're not doing it for our recognition. We're doing it for his recognition, for who he is, not who we are. I think he says the pagans babble on or something. Use babbling words. Don't keep babbling like pagans. They think they will be heard because of their many words. We don't have to say a lot of babbling, rambling words to sound holy. Jesus tells us God already knows. Just come to me discreetly. Come to me with a pure heart. And talk to me. He says that those who pray for their own recognition out in public for everybody to hear with all their immense big words have already received their reward. What's that reward? Their reward, what they're wanting, is attention from humans. That's what they get. That's not what we want, right? When we pray, we want a closer relationship with God, communication with God, not recognition from somebody else about how beautiful that is. And then I love that he goes into, did you guys know this is where the Lord's Prayer was in the Sermon on the Mount? Good. This is how he teaches us and gives us an outline. The Lord's Prayer is an outline for us to break down, and we did it recently in a Bible study for those of us who attended that. It was awesome. Where we could see what are the things that we need to do and how do we need to talk to God? What things do we need to petition to God and how do we need to do that? I'm not going to go in and break that down and go into that specifically. But this is the outline, this Lord's Prayer. After he talks about how to pray with a humble heart and open to God. The point here, and this point about this righteous act of praying, is again, you see the same message here? Do you see it? Humbleness. A pure heart. Motives all about God and not about other people and what other people see or recognize. back to the structure. Jesus says, pray like the don't pray like the hypocrites in front of people seeking others' approvals. Instead, pray to me humbly. And when you do, God the Father will reward us. That's the structure. Then we get to the final act, fasting. The final righteous act that Jesus talks about here in his in this passage that has exactly the same message as the other two about giving and praying. He talks about the same thing with fasting. Now, we don't really hear a lot about fasting. Anybody an expert on fasting or hear a lot of about fasting and stuff like that? I mean, we've done a little bit, some of us, with Lent, like giving up something is fasting, right? But like Christians in the early, some Christians fast. And I have a friend of mine who fasts actually often, but especially when she's going through a time of needing guidance from God. Like if she's going through a time of turmoil and unsettledness, she needs to hear from God, she will fast so she can focus in and hear God. And that's what fasting is. It's a practice when people abstain from food, water, or both of those things to seek God's guidance during a specific time. During that time then of fasting, you deepen your relationship with God and you humble yourself before him. The people in Jesus's audience would have known some Old Testament scriptures about fasting and some people they would have known about as examples who fasted. Queen Esther fasted, if you want to look up her story. Daniel fasted, and the Ninevites fasted after Jonah finally got there. Thank you for understanding that joke. So they were familiar with fasting in this culture. They were familiar with Old Testament scriptures. In fact, you see it in the New Testament. These things hadn't happened yet, but we see in the New Testament in Acts, the church fasting. We see Paul fasted. And I probably should remind you that right preceding this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So fasting happened. These people would have understood fasting. I think more than what we do. And again, Jesus' message is the same. Look, when you're doing this righteous act of fasting, don't let people know that you're fasting. It's between you and God. Do it in private. Don't make it look obvious that you're fasting, he's saying here. God is the only one who needs to know that you're doing that. It's all about you and God anyway, so there's no need to be going around like, oh, woe is me. I'm on my 7th day of fasting. Oh, I'm so weak. I'm so pale. I'm so pale. Oh, I just want a morsel of food. You get that that's not the right heart of fasting, right? God says those who play that card, that, oh, woe is me, I'm fasting card, have already received their reward. And once again, that reward that they received is an earthly reward of attention from other people. But once again, fasting isn't about getting recognition from others. It's growing closer and petitioning to God and understanding what God wants for our lives. So Jesus is saying, look, take care of yourself. Don't make your bodies look like you're fasting. I know you may be hungry, Jamie, but it's been 7 days and you need to suck it up and you need to look like you just had a beautiful meal yesterday. Don't look like you're suffering when you fast. So with the structure that Jesus gave us that I told you about at the beginning, Jesus says, don't fast wanting recognition from other people. Instead, take care of yourself. Don't look like you're fasting. They shouldn't even know that you're fasting. And then you will get your reward from God the Father in heaven. I want to point out, it probably is pretty obvious, and I've kind of maybe touched base on this, but Jesus isn't telling his audience that day that they need to do these righteous acts. Giving, prayer, and fasting was assumed to be done by his disciples. He says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, not if you give, if you pray, if you fast. He says, when you do those things. So the message today isn't about doing those things. You're disciples of Jesus. You should be wanting and yearning to do those things. But today the message is about your heart when you do those things. any of the service, any of the things that you do to grow closer to God. The message today is for us to do those things with a pure heart, centered on Jesus, empty of hypocrisy. Jesus is calling us to be humble followers whose hearts are pure when performing these and other acts of righteousness. He's calling for us as his followers to put aside ourselves and what others may think and the glory we may get here on earth. He's calling for us to put aside any recognition we get for anything and just to do it with the proper motives. And that proper motive in our heart is because we love God and we want to be closer to him. That's it. That's the only motive. Now here's the part where I tie in Palm Sunday. You ready? Palm Sunday, Matthew 21, 1 through 11. I'm going to read Matthew's version of Palm Sunday because since we're in Matthew. It's Palm Sunday, so I think I should read the scripture about Palm Sunday. Jesus' triumphal entry, Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem, came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and that he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. That'd be Zechariah. We read this earlier together as a church. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus, the same man calling us today and told his listeners in the Sermon on the Mount to serve God humbly, with pure hearts, shows utmost humility in his own actions on Palm Sunday as he rides into Jerusalem for the final time. Just as he's telling us to serve in humble ways and do these deeds with a pure heart, he sets the example. Do you guys understand that there's not a single thing that Jesus told us to do that he didn't do himself? As we learn today about giving, praying, and fasting with pure hearts, and I'll say other things that we do to serve God, we celebrate Jesus, the purest of hearts, acting in the most humblest of ways. Guys, a king, King Jesus, come into Jerusalem without fanfare or recognition of a king. Jesus could have come in, chanting his name, asking for recognition, arms held high, bragging about what he had done and what he was about to do. But he didn't, did he? Can you imagine what it would be like if Jesus came in arrogantly and not humbly? Let me paint the opposite picture. He would have been riding on a big horse, raising his arms in victory. Probably a purple robe, I'm going to imagine. There's got to be gold somewhere, like he's a king, right? And I could see probably a band playing drums and blasting horns, making all kinds of racket, going into a city. That's what he deserved. That's not what he did. That's not what happened at all if we read this story. He came into Jerusalem that day humbly, lowly, on a borrowed donkey. Borrowed, not a mighty horse. With palms from trees. There you go. Not gold and silver and jewels. With people's voices saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Not a big band. Not drums. It's people's voices. A humble, humble servant of God, Jesus. Acting with the purest of hearts to do a simple thing. One little simple thing he had to do that week. There's sarcasm there. Okay, thank you. He had to just come in and die for us all so that we can live again. Jesus is the utmost example of humility, of serving God and serving us. He was always against hypocritical behavior. He was a leader who would do what he asked of others himself. You guys love leaders that do this. They ask you to do something and they're doing it right with you, right? That's Jesus, man, doing it with you. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, who he called out a million times over, were not willing to humble themselves, to walk the talk like Jesus did. If you need any scripture to back that up, you can totally read Matthew 23, where Jesus goes off on the Pharisees. He is not happy with them. And he tells them how their hearts are just dark and impure with the wrong motives. And they say one thing and they do another, and they tell people to do one thing and then they do another. Jesus is against all of that. Jesus wasn't and he isn't interested in us saying the right things and knowing the right things. He's interested in us putting those things into our hearts in a pure fashion and then acting upon that, just like he did. The example he set for us as a humble king riding in on Jerusalem that day. Our hearts and how we do things for God matter. Jesus says this over and over again in his teachings. Church, when we serve God, Jesus calls us to do it with a pure and humble heart. Not for recognition or the attention of anybody else on this world. No one needs to know. Do it in secrecy, confidentially, in private. You and God, that's it. We serve God here at Christ the Cornerstone because we love God and we love others. And some of my favorite times here at the church, and I get choked up thinking about some of the stuff sometimes. When I come into this place and I see things done that I had no idea was going to get done. People just serving God, doing their thing, dropping donations, cleaning whatever, taking trash out, lawn work that people don't even want recognized for. Oftentimes, if I even say thank you, they put their heads down and go the other way. Those are pure hearts that I absolutely love about this church. I love it when I hear someone visited someone in the hospital and I knew nothing about it. That's it, church. Take care of one another. Put God at the middle of all of it. Humbly serve. Those things totally make me smile on the inside, and most of the time on the outside too. Because I know all the humble servants that are in this place who want to just serve God and his church and his people. And we need to continue that. We have to keep our eye on that. We have to continue to serve God as he's describing here, putting our own desires and our own needs aside. We must continue to always put being humble servants of Jesus first. It can be easy to do sometimes, and it's a slippery slope. If we're serving and we start serving for the wrong reasons, it's a slippery slope, and then we got to get back on our humbleness path to doing it for the right reasons. I want us to maintain that focus because it's easy to get it put off to the side sometimes. Let's continue to put God's desire to be humble servants first. And I think the way we stay that way and stay on that path is to always remember who we're here for. That's not for one another, although we are here for one another. But we come to worship for one person, and that's Jesus, right? If we continue to focus on him and doing what he calls us to do, our hearts will remain where they need to be, serving him. Just like the perfect example that he was this week, today, and this entire week. Later on in this week, Jesus is going to wash his disciples' feet. He's also going to serve them a meal. Jesus, the servant, the humble servant, with God at the middle of it. To take the structure of Jesus, if you will, that I described earlier in the sermon. Don't love God and serve him with motives to get attention from the world. Don't love God to get people's attention or recognition or fanfare. Instead, serve God and love him with a heart focused on him and him alone, with our actions being motivated only by one thing, and that's our love for Jesus. Then in the end, we will receive our reward from God our Father.